I'd like to welcome my guests to this morning's programme, and it's the lovely Karen Nicholson Stewart and Maureen O'Halloran. Good morning, girls, and you're very welcome
to
Good
morning. Leslie.
And how are you all this morning? It's a beautiful morning out there.
Great.
And I'm leered up with a load of clothes in thinking it was going to be cold, so I'll actually start stripping off as the day goes on.
And there's a webcam and board and everything for anybody who wants to see that striptease. Okay, Maureen, take it away.
She tells me.
No, seriously. Now, Karen, you have a great story to talk to us about this morning, but before we go to that story, we just want to, you have a few texts in this morning. First of all, you have Ursula Brady wants to say a big good morning. Toddy, good morning to you, and thanks very much for your phone call in. Wendelina, good morning to you as well. Thanks for your text in. And then we want to say a big hello from Marion Paisley and all your Cadbury's friends. And then somebody else sent in another one. You're looking good there, but we don't know who that was. So no, come here, Poolibus. I don't even get three texts. Well done, I'm telling you. You have a following. You really do, though. You want to tell us, start off telling us a little bit about, first of all, what we're talking about this morning is Maureen's, Maureen is a fashion stylist, and she has ran a competition a while ago, and over, I think, you had 1,000 entries, Maureen?
There was 1,000 entries into it. I just decided that I would run it, because twice a year I give something back to the ladies, and yeah. I do a freestyling day to give, you know, people can nominate someone to come into it. So there was 1,000 entries. I wasn't judging. Thank God I wasn't judging. And Karen, so I don't know if it was Karen that nominated herself or someone else nominated Karen, but apart from the 1,000 entries, there was 400 nominations for Karen. So that was on two different pages. There was 280 on one and 120 on another. And I'm like, and when I saw her story, it was like, oh, and it wasn't up to me. It was up to the judges. So I did pray that she would get picked. And then there was 10. It was down to 10. And there was some great stories there. And, you know, you can't give it to every single person. But there was just something that affected the judges with Karen.
Yeah.
And when I got told then that Karen got it, I was like, yes.
Yay, well done.
Oh,
and what did you feel like, Karen? Like, and the run up to it, and you know, when you knew that you were receiving so many votes, and it must have felt brilliant.
Yeah, overwhelming, because I didn't think, it was just friends of friends of friends. My sister said to me, nominate yourself. I said, I'm not nominating myself, I said, you do it. And then when I seen people were nominating themselves, then I put myself up, then people were sharing, and then friends of friends of friends of friends. It was just, I couldn't believe it. My husband and I was like, and he's not one for Facebook, but he just couldn't believe it himself. But then I was saying to my sister goes, I'd say you'd win. I was saying, no, maybe you see the support I have and say, yeah, well, she's all right. Maybe we could have someone that's not getting as much support or whatever. And they were like, you have to win. And I was, but I just, in my head, I was saying, I'd just wait and see. I couldn't, when I found out, I was like, couldn't believe it.
What did you have to do?
You just, it's based on, it's not how many likes it gets or anything like that. It's you just enter.
Right.
There was no sharing my page. I have a page there, a public page there. There was 6,500 odd. You didn't, a lot of competitions are run where you have to share that page and get the likes into that page. Mine was an event page.
Yes.
So you didn't have to like my page at all. It was just something I wanted to do and give it out there. So all they had to do was nominate themselves or a person. And of course the judges would see the links. But then the stories started to come in, which I hadn't expected. So they started to do that. And then it was on my website. And then RSVP Magazine were running it on their website. And that's all they had to do, was literally click into the event, say you're going, because you couldn't put your name on the page without saying you're going.
Mm-hmm.
That was it, you know. So it was unreal, the response, you know, because I hadn't ran one I had taken a break myself. So I hadn't ran one over in a year and a half.
Yeah.
So it was a great response to get, you know. The media are like jumping on it now because of Karen's story.
It was only really when my friend put up, a good friend of mine put up my whole story.
Yeah.
I read and went, Jeannie, I was through a lot. Like, you know, I have been through, whereas I kind of just, right, that's gone, move on, and the next battle, let's go. You know, when I looked, I said, it would be nice to win, actually. I think I would like to win it, you know, looking at it, when reading it down on paper, like, Jeannie, that's what I've been through.
And you are going to share your story with us this morning.
Yeah. Lovely. I already started, in 1999 when I was pregnant, I got to 8.5 months and I gave birth to a stillborn baby boy. Adam, we call him. So then about a year after that, then I was getting symptoms and I got diagnosed with the cancer of the big toe, and it's a very dangerous cancer. So you had to amputate it. I thought I was grand. I was told you won't, by the surgeon, you won't need treatment. So I went off business, but I came back and in January and they said you need treatment. You need the most aggressive, one of the second most aggressive, because you're so young, Karen, I'm giving it to you.
Yeah.
And as my husband said, you'll beat the hell and back. You're going to beat the hell and back. That's what I was told. I can't remember that. And I did, basically did. So that I got through that. Between then, I was going through depression as well and I'd gained a lot of weight and very insecure myself. I had no confidence at all.
Understandable.
What killed me was when I was going for treatment, when in that room he said, you won't have any, I can't guarantee you children after this. And that's what killed me more, because I had a child and he had died. Even what I was going to go through.
Yeah.
But anyway, as years went on, I went through premature menopause, as it was called. I remember I was working at the time in the local factory and I'd be getting the flushes and horrendous. So anyway, years went on, me and my husband bought a house, we're going for the IVF, and about a few weeks before I was going for IVF, I got pregnant myself.
Lovely, brilliant. So you didn't have to go for the IVF?
No, I had Kiva.
Brilliant, Kiva, lovely.
Then we got married and we said we better try again in case it doesn't.
Yeah, yeah.
Then we had Finn.
I remember you having Finn.
I
remember somebody told me, because I used to work in the same place, and I remember I was at the locker room door and I was going out and they were all saying, she had a boy, and I said, what did she call him? And it was Finn, and I was like, oh, I love that name.
Kiva and Finn. So then I started to get myself back to the gym, lost all my weight, felt great, everything was going well. Then I had a little surprise, had baby Erin. I got pregnant on Erin then. So anyway, cool, long story short, had Erin 7 months ago, and then when she was 5 months, or was it 4 months, I was diagnosed with the cancer again. Now the cancer was called it's PNET for short. PNET. It is a dangerous tumour, but it is curable. But I got it back in my lung this time, and I got I had to have a lung resection with a piece of my lung removed.
Oh my God.
When they went in, they thought it was going to be there in the margins. It was just going to be there, but they said if the margins are positive or if I'm the lymph nodes, you're getting treatment. And one of the lymph nodes showed that the cancer had gone there. So, as the doctor explained to my husband, once it's there, it can go anywhere. Mm-hmm. So we can't take that risk. So I have to get the same treatment again, plus radium, and just see what happens from there then.
Did they give you a time frame that it would last for?
Well, I got 12 years from the last time.
Yeah.
And I said to my husband, if I get it this time, and if I get another 12 years, and people are taking it wrong when I say if I get another 12 years, they think I mean if I get to live another 12 years. I mean if I get another 12 years till it comes back.
Yeah.
I'll do it again.
Yeah.
You know, so I got so long out of that treatment, so I'll do it. Obviously, I have to do it again. I have 3 kids. It's not a thing I want to do, but I have to do.
Isn't she amazing?
She's absolutely amazing.
The way she's talking.
Yeah, I don't want to start crying now. Because I know. Do you know what? I'm not trying to say that there's any consolation, because there isn't. Mm. You know what I mean? You're facing this now and you've so much support, and look at you, you're fantastic. But the thing is, you've been there before, so is that going to make things easier for you?
It is and it isn't, because I know how hard it was. But I think because I'm older now and wiser, that I might be able to handle it a bit more.
Maybe so. And you have the three kids.
The husband, well, he was always there, but I have my own place now, and I think it will be a little bit easier, and the medication now I believe is better, which is good as well. So that's all I can do, is just try and get through it. Like.
And how long is the treatment going?
6 months.
6 months, and you're going to be starting it?
Yeah, I'll be admitted every time. My first cycle will be 5 days. I'll be for 5 nights, chemotherapy for 5 nights, 3 weeks break. Now, that's if I don't get an infection, our blood goes down. I was told it will go down because it's so strong. Then 2 nights, another 3 week break, 5 nights, and that's where you go on. And then I don't know why the radium works. So, I'll be probably basically in hospital for the 6 months in and out. But I have to say, the hospital have been great. Like, Beaumont Hospital have been brilliant. The support from Facebook, all the friends, all me, both families, everyone. I just want to thank everyone. There's so many people I want to thank, you know. God. I'd be sitting here for years, and they all know who they are, you know. So,
Well, now hold on, I get composed here.
Yeah. When I spoke to her, I just started crying when I left the phone, because I just said, this lady is like, she's talking about maybe a broken leg getting healed. It's the way she was talking that it wasn't going to affect her life. And I knew it was the right decision, that the right lady had won this. She deserves it. I mean, it's a massive day. This is a complete transformation, this day.
Yeah.
It's not just bringing her to Styler and do that. This is a complete transformation. All the stops have been pulled out. I mean, Cleary's came on board, gave a €500 voucher. They didn't know it was going to be Karen that was going to win it.
Fair play. And one of the traditional Irish shops too.
Brilliant. And there's so much in it. And, you know, I can do everything in the one store. So it didn't matter who was going to win. I don't need to run around the town or around the city and go from this shop to this shop, which normally happens. So it was actually great that they did come on board. And, of course, then the RSVP had said they're going to do a two-page spread on whoever won.
Yes.
And you really wanted someone like Karen to win. I mean, she's a mum. Every day she gets up, she takes care of her children, she takes care of her home, she takes care of her husband, and she just does it.
Yeah.
And there's so many thousands of mums out there doing the same thing every day. But when I spoke to Karen, and she has cancer, and I'm like, she said it like that, and I'm like, and she's there, okay, but I'm going to do it again. And we were talking outside, and she was saying that, I'm going to lose my hair again. That's the only thing. And it was
Are you going to lose your hair, Carol?
Yeah, but she was in Versace getting a wig.
Maureen was saying, like, a treatment. This is like, you do realise my hair's going to fall out, like, on day 10. Like, you're going to get me this lovely treatment for my hair. And she's like, that doesn't matter.
Yeah, she's getting a treatment. She's getting what I had done the other day, and it's called Evox. And I'm 47, and I have hair which is tied up today.
You're looking fantastic.
My hair is like it's cross between Spanish and African.
It's lovely. It is.
It's crazy. So I've never found a product that would actually suit it. And last Thursday, I was asked to try this product. It's called Botox for Hair.
Ooh.
And it was like, I walked out, my hair was like silk. So I just said, this lady has to have, Karen has to have this treatment, because 45 minutes.
Botox for Hair?
Unreal.
Let me write that down.
It's called Evox, but I was delighted. It was only the other day that we had all this arranged for Thursday the 17th. Mm. And it was only the other day that Karen was told she has to go in for the... So it was only yesterday, the day before, that I found out. She was meant to go in before the styling.
Yeah.
She's meant to be in. But they're going to hold off. So we're styling her Thursday and she's going in Tuesday. Start her treatment.
And where's those pictures going to be?
Those pictures, nothing can be released, because this is actually being filmed as well. So there are two cameras.
She's a walking miracle, she is.
Well, one of them is a TV camera crew, so I won't say the name yet. And the other one, well, they're filming independently, and they want the story. And then the other one is my own crew, so they're coming with us to film as well. And then we have Una Williams, the photographer from Malahide.
Yeah, local Colleen on board.
Great girl, absolutely great girl. She's actually doing all the photos for RSVP magazine. So the two of us are going to be photographed at different angles and levels and whatever, but she's going to be styled to the nines.
Well, come here, no better woman than Una to make you look hot. You know, she has the je ne sais quoi, as they call it. You know, she's brilliant.
Unreal.
I know. Una, where are you? Will you come down to me and do a job on me?
She's great. She doesn't actually Photoshop too much, I have to say, but when I see a picture take a bit out of there. She actually takes such a great picture that you don't need it, because she knows your angles. She knows everybody has BDD of some sort. They have the body disorder, and there's parts of them they don't like. I get it every day with women, and they go, I have a tummy. And I'm going, that's your womb. You know, because like you see models all the time, they go, I have a tummy in that. And I go, Jesus, someone tell her that's her womb. That's actually meant to be there, you know?
And like, size 3 or something, like there's a little ball in the middle.
Yeah, exactly. But like everybody has it. So, of course, mine is, I got burnt in Spain. I fell asleep and I burnt the skin under my eyes is very soft. So I'm very conscious of it. And Una goes, okay, turn this way. She takes it all away.
And you know something, working with people that are like that as well, genuine people, dubs, and I suppose local people as well, it's great that it's all in the local community. And now I know, you know, that there's more stuff than that going to be involved on the day. But I'm stalking Una Williams's Facebook page, I can tell you that. Little clues there, is there anything?
You can't put up any pictures or no footage can be released until after it's done.
Okay.
Because, you see, we want her family as well to see her at some stage with her makeover and all that. So we're heading to the Selbridge Manor Hotel, gave her a night stay there with champagne and dinner and all that kind of thing to use at her own convenience. So we're going to do the photos out there in the evening time, because they have a beautiful garden. So we're going to do it out there, and I'm dying for John Maher to get her. John Maher was the gentleman that actually removed Magella's hair, Magella O'Donnell, on The Late Late.
Okay.
It's John we have for Karen to do her hair in Queen. Yeah, in Queen Hairdressers there. And I can never pronounce the name. I'm a good girl. I'm still trying to get through this. It's Ongar Street.
Ongar Street, yeah.
Oh, I've got that right. Yeah, I didn't pronounce the I in there.
You're a real Galway girl, honest to God.
I am. So
with your lovely black hair and everything.
Oh, God. And then the makeup fablicious in Dame Street, one of the ladies that actually does a lot for film, she's going to be doing the makeup. So we've pulled the best of everything. And we have a few surprises, which I'm not going to tell her.
Oh.
We have. Do you know something?
I'll give you my number, Carolyn, before you go, in case you don't want any of them surprises, right? I'll have them.
Well, she deserves for all the stops.
You do. She really does.
There is a very special surprise that I can't say on air, and I would love to, because the gentleman that's involved in supplying it, he deserves a mention, but he will get all the mentions afterwards. But she's going to love that. And I just, when I heard her story, you know, it started off with just the makeover. And like, as I said, €500 is a lot to get from a store.
Really, Cleary's,
you know.
Yeah.
And, but we just decided, oh God, we have to pull out everything. If we could pull the stars out for this lady, you'd just be so tempted to do it.
You could pull the stars out. That's lovely.
Well, just, you know, just bring them out for a while and say, can you just appear for a little while and then go back until we do our photo shoot in the daylight?
Karen, is it distracting you, the competition and what's happening in your life? It is. It's distracting you. And you think that this is going to kind of give you a little bit of a oomph to get through things and something, you're having something to look forward to.
It's probably going to make me feel... And let me know how it feels to be normal before I go in.
Yeah.
So I know, well, this way I'm going to feel when I get through this. So,
you
know, it's giving me my day of being Karen and then going in, getting myself, obviously I'll be getting sick and stuff like that, but now that I can get back to that.
Yeah.
And look, I have the photographs to look and remember that.
Yeah.
Who I was before.
I know.
And back to it, like, so.
And as well as that, what you were after saying about new treatments that are out there, you've been down the road before, and I know it's a very minute consolation, but I don't know, am I wrong to think that it is some sort of a consolation?
No, it is. And as I said, the memories that I'll have, I'll keep the magazine and I'll be, to look at it, just to keep it, to remind myself that, you know, I'm looking at my hair and on my head and there's no hair. I came back after the last time, just things like that.
Whereas
I wouldn't really have much photographs myself anyway.
You're a great inspiration to anybody that's out there that's going through the same thing or has been through the same thing, and it must be crazy to say out loud, I have cancer. That must be just mad.
To think, especially where it was, I thought that was it, like when I heard the lung, like, you know. But the things they can do now, the hospitals have been great to support. Bow Hospitals, James and Al Bowman, they have all been great, the doctors.
She's only 33.
You look amazing.
You know, so.
God, I must have met you when you were only 23.
Yeah, because I got it in, I was working in Carbys at the time. I was 21 when I got it, when I got the whole diagnosis came about then.
Yeah, so that, yeah, definitely. And I remember when you had your baby and everything, because I left then, I would have left then, I can't even, oh, do you know what, can't even be remembered now how long ago that was. Tell Karen she's a trooper, one of the best, from Dom Mart O'Ake Noel. You're a trooper.
She has some following.
Yeah. How many friends have you got on Facebook?
Oh, Janie, I don't know. I don't keep count.
I think, like, I mean, people talk about social media, and social media is great. It has its good, and it has its bad. Mm. But for something like yourself, it's a really positive thing. And like we had another thing on there a while ago, Avian's Pink Ribbon, and it's about a little girl, and she's lost, and it's helping other kids. Her parents are doing this trip for her memory. You know what I mean? And without Facebook, Joe Jordan was involved in that as well, another Cadbury's lady, and without Facebook, like. half of the support wouldn't be out there. You know
what
I mean?
That's what I was saying. Like, me and my husband were against Facebook at the start because I think it could get you into trouble being tagged somewhere you're not supposed to be and things like that. And for years, we were like, no, no. But then I got to the stage where I was sick of people saying, are you not on Facebook? No, from years ago, I said, ah, here, I'll go on Facebook. And it's the best thing I've ever done.
Yeah.
Even when I was in having my operation, it was great just seeing the support and the... just going to Facebook and everyone just talked, which is just brilliant, you know.
And you know something, saying that, like, about Facebook, some nights you'd be in the house and it'd be gone. Love to talk to somebody, or if there's nobody there, you know, a quiet night, which is seldom, but you know yourself having kids, and go onto Facebook. Janie Mac, it'd be 2 or 3 hours before you'd get to bed, and then if there's any wine involved,
I was just going
like
to say
that.
The problem is the wine. They used to say, take the phone off me if I have wine on me or drink at all, because the drunk texts come out absolutely. And the dictionary correction. Put in Dublin and see what it comes up as. Because I just thought that someone had said to me, did you just tell me to F? And I was like, no. And I was trying to spell Dublin, but it came up as a, and they say, do not go onto Facebook. And I did learn that, you know, you can get very brave
on Facebook
and say things you really should not say. So, yes, I kind of.
There's a lot of private messages goes on and stuff like that. And there's going to be some people that know me that be saying, and you're one of them, Leslie. And you, we won't say anything about you, Tara McGarty. But anyway, here we another text in. Tell Karen all the best from John Farrell.
There you go. Thanks, John.
Oh, all you lovely well wishers out there. Have you seen, like, on Facebook lately, those big, huge, the big photograph of your one with a big glass of wine like that?
Yeah.
I don't know. Like, I think Facebook kind of a little bit encourages us to drink.
Or the other one where the guy is pouring the glass of wine. I think I saw it this morning and it says, tell me when to stop. But they're actually up to their neck in it. And she still hasn't said when to stop. You know?
Oh, the hangover, though, you say. But I don't know. I'd be looking at some people. And they'd have a wine time or beer o'clock, and I'd be going, oh my God, I said I wasn't going to. Asher, go on, look, I have a little smile.
I've often said it, don't Facebook, I drink on Facebook. I've often done it, I'm like, oh.
a girl was telling me one night that she was mortified that she had a bit of a problem with another girl on Facebook. And you see, you have to be very careful what you think you can say. Mm-hmm. So she was thinking this girl's name. So rather than keying in her friend's name, she keyed in the name of the girl that she was annoyed with and messaged her about herself. And
I'm like, God.
Oh, you didn't. And she said, I said, why did you remove yourself off Facebook?
Deleted user. You'd never know.
And she said, I tried deleting the messages and they wouldn't delete. But you know what I thought was very, very funny is that this notice went up of pictures of people with a picture in their hands going out to the public.
Yeah.
Like my picture, because Facebook has closed down. So you have people going out around the streets of Dublin and everywhere in New York with a picture in their hand of themselves saying, will you like me? Will you just like me? You know, I had porridge this morning. Will you like me?
Getting very, very brave. Well, look, we're going to take a quick break and we're going to come back and we're going to talk more and we talk about fashion and talk more about you, Karen.
Exactly.
Okay, folks.
And what I'm going to do to her.
Exactly. Yeah, we can't wait for it. Like, the lines are open. You can text us on 087-69-44-500 or you can give us a ring on 867-1190.
Download the podcast and catch up on your listening at near.ie.
Near FM.
I'm a believer, I couldn't leave her if I tried.
Lovely stuff there, and the Monkees, I'm a Believer, and Maureen was listening to popping away to that on the way in this morning.
I love it.
She wanted to have a little encore of that song, so no.
I think it's just her. I think that song, when I was coming in this morning, you know when you just know it's going to be a great day?
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden, the Hot House Flowers came on, you know, that...
Don't leave me now.
Exactly, yeah. But the Black Cat is bringing me luck.
Yeah.
And I just thought, I love the Hot House Flowers, and I actually bought them a cup of coffee when they were the Benzini brothers and brought them for breakfast in the ILAC Centre in 84, so long before they became the Hot House Flowers. I was actually talking to them.
Listen, yous Hot House Flowers, yous don't be forgetting Maureen, remember where you came from.
But there's a second song to come on, which was, you know, the way sometimes some radio stations can play a song and it's really buzzing, like, you know that Red Light by Billy Ocean. Is it Billy Ocean or a bit? Yeah.
Yeah.
once I hear that, like, I'd start dancing on the bonnet of the car. Whereas with this song, sometimes they can play a really depressing song afterwards, yeah, but the second song was I'm a Believer.
Yeah.
And it was just Karen. That's what she has made me feel from talking to her about her thing. And I'm so looking forward to this day with her. I can't wait to get my hands on her boobs.
Oh. Oh.
Can
find them.
No, I get slagged off so many times because I'm a professional bra fitter.
Now, and we're going to be talking a little bit. Now, just before we, the lovely Debbie McMahon is in the house as well, just to let the Ursula and Toddy know, because she's their number one girl, not me. But Maureen has kindly agreed to come back on in a fortnight's time and talk about the menopause and about bra fitting.
Thanks, Leslie. Yeah,
I'm just saying.
Actually, I've never been fitted properly for a bra.
Have you not?
Right. No, never.
Well, I'll be doing my days where I take a group of women. Okay. And they all come together, a group of friends come together, have a bit of fun, and you get your bras fitted
because
and your vice
and your
underwear.
Because it's quite important, isn't it, to be fitted from a young age?
Now, I know we're probably important. A little bit very old. Seriously important.
Well, Debbie's actual nickname is Deborah. She is Deborah. Me and Georgie call her Deborah, don't we?
Used to, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
I won't ask why. I just won't. But so the joke is that like one of the girls actually said it when I was going on TV one day. She said to this presenter, she said, I met Maureen O'Halloran today, and she said, did she get her hands on your boobs? And she said, actually she did, and she said, I bet you did it within 5 minutes. And because I have this thing when I see women with their bras, and they have this double layer of what we used to call the spare tire around the waist, they have one up under their arms.
Yes,
because the bra rides up their back and creates these lumps as if to make them sumo wrestlers. So I'm always looking at the two girls are here fixing themselves. So, you know, the girls always tease me that when I meet someone if I put my hand on your back, they go, do not let her put her hand on your back, because she's actually feeling to see where your bra is. And I'm not, I actually genuinely not. And I was giving a talk one night, and I was at a function. The president, Mary McAleese, was at it, below in Galway, for the Ladies Network Ireland. And one of the things the group of women said, do not let Maureen near the president. Mm-hmm. Whatever you do, because she'll ask her, does she want to wrap it? So at one stage, the girls came running because they saw me talking. And as I saw them coming for me, I just said to Mary McAleese, do me a favour and just say to me, when those four girls come up, say, you must come up to Doris and bring your measuring tape with you. And fair play to her. Imagine asking the president to say that. Fair play to her, she did. And the girls were like, oh, Jesus Christ, what's she after saying to the president? It's my job. I specialise in post-mastectomy, and I'm registered with breast cancer. So I'm in fashion 30 years. Mm-hmm. And it's one of the most important things, and this is why I can't wait to get nearer. She said, if you can find them, darling, I have nothing. And believe me, it's all padding. And I look for the best bras ever for that. But I can't wait to get it done, because it does decide the shape of your clothes.
Yeah, yeah, it does. And it's very important to keep them up in the right place. Mm.
And Cleary's have a great selection. I was very surprised at that, because they used to have just, you know, certain types or whatever. They have a great selection of lingerie in their department there. So don't worry, we won't let the cameras into the fitting room. They will join us at some stage to have a look at what's going on.
It was the very, very first time I ever had a bra fitting, and it was in Cleary's, and that was years ago. And I actually I'm not going to start talking about my boobs on air or anything like that, but they do change when you have kids, and sizes change. And like that, Debbie said there, it's very important to keep, you know, the right size on them, because you do, it can make your shape look so much better, having the right bra. Now, Maureen, just want to say, we've more texts in here. She's giving me exercise today. Okay, go Karen, you're doing us proud. We're all thinking that this could be your next job. You from all the family tuned in the sitting room. Right. And now we also have one of the bravest girls around, sending hugs and kisses, Karen. Love from Carol and Reese. Oh. And then Carol, you're the best, from John Farrell. We had that one there. And from Dom, Matt, aka Noel, all your Cadbury friends, and Marion, and Ursula and Toddy as well, and Wendelina and Georgina.
You're a celebrity, Karen.
So, the bra fitting,
It's very important for another reason, because that because I'm a specialist in it. I have researched the medical side to bra fittings, and what women don't realise is the lymph nodes are actually underneath your breast as well as underneath your arms. So when you're wearing an underwire bra, mm-hmm. you have to be very, very sure of where it's sitting, because you can block your lymph nodes. Mm. And a lot of people just say, you know, the cancer is can be caused by the bra. It's not caused by your bra, an underwire bra. However, if you're wearing a piece of metal close to your lymph nodes and blocking them from drainage,
Janie Mac,
then you're stopping the lymph from draining out through the sweat glands.
Oh my God. Now, girls, any of the ladies that are listening to that this morning, take note of that very important piece of information there. That's mad.
Well, they don't realise that. And yeah. So, you know, it is a very important area, and I concentrate quite a lot on that to get this. So you can get lymphatic drainage and all that kind of thing. But
Maureen, would you offer people advice on your Facebook fan page?
I actually have a section where they can PM me. Yeah. Because I have ladies, as some of them are asking me, I put it up the other day if any of you want fashion advice or whatever. And, it's comical. This lady said, I have a gold dress, and she's lovely, with a navy top, and I want to know what jacket, but I don't know what the gold dress is like. I don't know what the navy piece is like. So I was just kind of visualising. I said, well, is there any chance I could have a picture of you and the dress or whatever? So she PM'd me and sent it to me, which is great. But if they ask a question, it would be nice to see who I'm talking to, because very hard to give an opinion on what you should wear and what you should not wear without seeing the person. But, you know, because everybody says, you know, oh, am I wearing the right colour for me? And I'm going, like, I'm black. And I have black hair, so I know what suits me, but you cannot decide. Like, if I'm a blonde tomorrow, it's different colours that are going to suit me. Yeah. I dress for the character. Mm-hmm. You have to dress. Like, you have the boldest character in a woman that I have ever seen in a long time, Leslie. And I mean,
thanks, I love
when
you.
When we were talking, and I mean, this girl, Karen, also has a very bold side, and that's why I'm really looking forward
to it. Very naughty.
Well, we talk about, can I say this on air, the horny 40s?
Oh, yeah. Debbie's talking about that.
She tells me about the dirty 30s the other day.
That's what it was. Sinead, if you're listening, it's the dirty 30s.
And I'm saying, like, when you've got a person that's going to come out with something like that, they love to dress fun.
Yeah.
They dress classily, you know, but their character is just vibrant and wild, and I love to look at that. Mm. Because I'm not going to turn around and put Karen then into a little straight skirt and a suit or anything like that. It's not going to suit her.
Yeah.
She's young, she's vibrant, but she's younger than her years. I mean, she's 33, but she doesn't look it.
I was shocked.
She looks about 25.
Karen, how do you feel having all this, these like lovely clothes and the makeover, and how does it feel? Do you feel changed, like, in your style? Has it changed you much?
Yeah, great. I'm like, I'd be more like, put the gym gear on and go, but now I'm like, put my dress and tights on now. And
yeah.
It's, I want to, because I know I'm going to be getting fashion advice, I want to try and start myself.
But you know something, Karen? I don't know if I'm wrong, Maureen, but I think years and years ago, women dressed more, not glamorously, but women, like the same way you say, tight.
Conservatively.
Yes, and I'd never seen my mother going around in a tracksuit, or my grandmother. They always, my grandmother was a dealer in Moore Street, so she had a pocket on her constantly.
Yeah.
You know, over. But always a dress, you know what I mean?
And
the tights and the shoes, and all the women dressed like that. Where I think we're kind of getting a bit lackadaisy, some of us, and I know I have a lot of days. Like, I mean, 4 out of 7 days I'd be in a tracksuit.
Mm. But it's like the gym gear and all. Like, I love walking, so I just put the gym gear on. But I love my jeans and my flats, and like, say flat, like Converse, like one of those, like, just tank top or whatever. But I don't feel comfortable with my jeans yet. But that's what I'd like. But for now, it's just
casual.
And then when got onto me, I was like, I've got to start dressing a bit better here.
you see, this is a big thing that I say to people. Straight off, Karen's thinking was, I'm meeting Maureen, I better wear a dress. It's fashion. I better dress up with a jacket. I better wear
that.
No, you see, the thing is, no, but this is my thing, and I write the blog on this, is that in the magazines, women tend to actually look at what's in fashion or what's in magazines, and they say, I have to do that. Mm. No, you don't. I never follow trends. I actually never do. And that's why I still have clothes in my wardrobe for 10 years.
Yeah, yeah.
Because I bought good stuff they've lasted, but my shape hasn't changed.
Fair play.
So my
yeah.
style hasn't changed. I am now. I'm in my leather gear today. My leather trousers and my leather jacket.
Yeah, you
and
look
my
fantastic. But, you do, Maureen.
But that's my gear, right? Now, if I was going to a function with something else, I would maybe. I love Coco Chanel. Oh. I love the style of it. I love Princess Grace. Yeah. I loved her
I
style.
Love Princess Grace.
So I love my pearls.
And you'll probably love Audrey Hepburn.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So that is my style for evening or for going out to yeah. dinner or whatever. But when I'm casual like this and I'm working, I'm in my boots and whatever. I did have a motorbike when I was younger.
Did you?
But like,
I can actually picture you on
but
it.
But I can actually
I'd say there's a wild
classy.
Woman in there as well now, Maureen. We're not on our own here, Karen.
But that's the thing with Karen. I want Karen to focus in on the day of who Karen is. I don't want to take the mum. I don't want to take the wife. I want to go back to Karen Nicholson.
Yeah.
Because, you know, when you become a mum, it's like as the kids get older and go to school, it's like, oh, you're Jamie's mum or you're Finn's mum or you're Aaron's mum or you're so-and-so's wife. Hello, I do have a name. So I want to focus on that with yeah. Karen on the day because I'd say she likes to dress funky as well. And
I love the jeans and the flats. And
yeah, but like I know what you mean about going out with jeans and feeling a little bit like if you are a little bit conscious of your weight. But you know what? I found a great invention for going out with the jeans. The high heel runners.
They're brilliant. Oh, yeah. They make you taller looking
especially
as well.
For a
yeah.
little dwarf like me. Karen, we've more texts in for you, love. Okay. Dear Near FM, thank you, Maureen, for making Karen feel so special because she is an amazing girl. Positive strength, Karen's sister-in-law from Caroline. Then we have Karen, you are a pro, truly amazing, inspirational woman. Everybody behind you. All the well wishes, hugs and kisses.
Aww. Thanks.
I'm telling you, she's famous, this lady.
Now, they're flying in for you, Karen.
She's absolutely unreal and she is going to be an inspiration. And I can't wait for people to actually see the day that we have on camera when it's replayed.
Maureen, there's a text in for you from Maurice LeBrady and she wants to know, can I be a model? Please, please, please.
As long as she's not a size zero.
No, she's about 12 or so, isn't she, Debbie? Or even, she'd be about an 8 or what would she be? About a 10.
Okay, she's just on the safety thing. I always go above 10 for yeah. models.
Okay. Always. I'm all right, so.
I'm all right myself.
I just always do. And like being thin is fine as well. And actually, I think being slim can get people an awful lot of bad publicity too. Like I remember at one stage I was walking a lot and I was working a lot a few years ago and I'd went down to a size 8 without wanting to.
Yeah.
But I'd also had a thing called lymphatic drainage done. Just had it done because my breasts were sore all the time.
Oh my God, can't tell me about that.
It's fantastic. But you'd lose a stone weight and
you lose everything.
Mm. Well, it's just I research everything to do with yeah. the body and that kind of thing. But I lost a stone and every time I went out, I thought, God, you know, you've lost an awful lot of weight or God, you know, you're very thin. And you're yeah. a bit dying looking. I go, if oh, I was about 15 stone, would you say you're very fat, Maureen? Or, you've put on a sight of
yeah,
weight.
Yeah, you wouldn't.
So the thin people do kind of get a
yeah, it's
thing
not always good.
I'll be hated for this. I just don't put on weight. But then again, I have very high energy. But then I love my women that do have the conditioning on them. And, you know, they have their lovely curves. I love curves. You look at the Renaissance pictures. There was never a size 10 woman. They were all 14 and big. That was art. Mm. So I just love getting those bodies and moulding them and styling them and kind of.
And there's so many different styles out there these days. It doesn't really matter what your body is like to
no,
a certain extent. Do you know what I mean?
It's what's
fashion,
in here.
Yeah, it's yeah.
It's
yeah.
what's in here. It's what you portray from inside to out. You mm-hmm. you could be a size like a lot of girls that I know have great characters and they're about a size 16 up. They're the ones to get up on the table and start singing in the pub.
Yeah,
they're great fun. Whereas the one that's very slim is kind of very conscious how she looks, and you know, a lot of them, not all. And I would be because people are always kind of looking. Actually, it's worse if you're very slim, mm-hmm. because as I call it, the bird syndrome. with your very skinny legs, and then if there's a little bump at all out the wrong way, you visualise this stick and then put a bit out in its back side and then a bit out in its front and then another bit. So you look like the bird syndrome. It kind of just spreads out in the front as you go along. So
yeah, because I'm real conscious of my legs up here. And like that, though,
they're great legs.
When you think of that, then you're going to go, yeah, I suppose.
You're in proportion. Whereas someone with legs like me, I mean, if I turn sideways, I wore blue tights one day for the crack, just for a picture. I wore a blue dress, and it's like I was levitating. It's like there was no legs because they just disappeared into it. So you've got what I call the real curves. You've got legs. I can shape you there. So.
Anybody else want to text us in? It's 087 6944 500. That's 087 6944 500. What's your advice, Maureen, for the girls who are listening today?
On which?
On we'll say fashion. And people were talking about, like myself, that I do spend half of my week in my tracksuit and pyjamas if you're not going anywhere and stuff like that. Where when we think back to the olden days, the mammies, they were, I know my mom does have fantastic stories. They all shared clothes and everything. You know what I mean? But they did. They looked fantastic. And like that, it was Audrey Hepburn, Marilyn Monroe were the influences. And you never seen a woman going around in a tracksuit. Women weren't allowed to wear trousers, I don't think, for a long time.
Well, at the moment, I'm already fighting for my wardrobe because I have a 20-year-old daughter who's the same size as me and same height as me. And I literally have to kind of, last night I had to take the clothes and hide them for what I was going to wear today in case she got up before me and decided she was going to wear my clothes. So, you know, she's living with me and it's very good fun. However, the thing on the tracksuits, what I would say, and I've been there, done that, worn the t-shirt, and we're going to talk about menopause next week, so we'll be talking about the tracksuits will come into that.
I can't wait.
But the thing is, well, it'll be the week after because I've Karen next week, so we won't be focusing on menopause.
Right.
And I'll make sure I have my human resource therapy. That's what I call HRT. I don't call it hormone replacement therapy. I call it human resource therapy. Because it helps me deal with humans. But
I love the way your quirkiness, Maureen. She has an answer for everything. Put that up on that shelf
now. That can be bad sometimes.
No, it's not.
The tracksuit thing, I would advise women, be very careful getting into a habit of wearing the tracksuit all the time. My grandmother had this saying that she used to say, a bit of lippy and a bit of powder goes a long way. But she said, between 6 a.m. and 6 p.m, if you have to step outside the door once, you're presenting yourself to every person you meet. So you're telling them who you are.
Yeah.
So the tracksuit, I love it. And as long as it looks nice and it's not dragging along the ground below the runners.
The big, huge, big earrings, the big
The whole lot. Like, just
cash for gold for you people.
Yeah, but if that's who you are, that's who you're, that's fine. But if you do that and you're not that type of person, people do look at you and decide on your image.
Yes.
An image is important for yourself, not just for the person out there. You decide on who you are yourself and your character. So when you're dressing, dress for you. But be careful you do not put yourself into that rut. Something very funny came up in a conversation one day. And it was something I said and the media got hold of it. And it was totally out of context. But what I said was, well, darling, get off the tracksuit because that young foreign Russian is in the backdrop there looking hot. And, you
get
know,
off the tracksuit.
She's not in a tracksuit. And if she is, it looks hot and it's only kind of low-waisted and it's this. So stay in the tracksuit and the eyes are going to be wandering the other way. I mean, there's a couple of guys with a couple of black eyes for it. But they are. It's a very multicultural Ireland we live in. It's very cosmopolitan. Mm-hmm. You've got these beautiful Eastern European girls. Irish girls are very beautiful. But as one fella said to me the other day, they're very aggressive.
We're not. Irish, what is he talking about?
Do you think it's the mood as well you wake up in?
Exactly. Exactly. Whatever mood you're in. But if you're not going to go out for the day, you just want to get into your tracks, do that. But if you have to go out, just make sure that you look neat. I'm not saying you have to take the tracksuit off. Just look neat.
Karen, is that your phone up in there?
No, I have mine off.
Whose is it?
I don't know. It's a phone somewhere.
Oh, we must have a stalker in here somewhere. I'm just saying they're very popular. Now, we have another text in for you. Unless the text machine is making noise, Debbie. Okay, Karen, you really deserve this. Enjoy every minute of it. Love you, Lisa Farrell. Go, Karen. Thanks, I'm so Lisa. Proud of you. From Tanya. Moi.
Ah, thanks, Tanya.
Oh, she's doing very well, aren't you? But what would you like to say?
First of all, thanks to everyone, and I mean everyone that voted for me, nominated me, everyone that's been there for me when on Facebook and off Facebook, that's been there for me, showing me illness when I've been diagnosed. All my family, both sides, in-laws, and then my family, they've all been amazing. And it's actually brought, this illness has brought my two families close together. Really close together. I think they've come closer, actually. And as regards to hospital, I can't thank Professor Grogan enough. He saved my life once, and his team. Teresa, I can't think of Teresa's second name now. Teresa Doyle and the rest of the nursing, that they all saved my life once, and I know they're going to do it again. St. James is also Dr. Ryan, who did the surgery. It's everyone that's just been part of my life and helped me and supported me and just got me through that. And my kids, of course, and my husband. Without them, I'd be...
It's like preparation for the Late Late Show. Get your speech ready.
Karen, you are a star. You have amazing strength, and that's why you'll come out at the other end and even stronger person. That's possible. Inspiration, love, Stacey, Kieran and the boys. And yes, just for to let the listeners know that that is the Near FM text machine making that noise. Well, I've never seen it before, but there's somebody in the house. So let's make some noise. You're an inspiration, Karen. And I said that to you earlier on. And it's like for you to come on here and share your story. It's just, I mean, I was nearly crying. You know me, Debbie, I'd cry if you turn a rasher in the pan, be God forbid, by half of the time. But like when you started off telling me a little bit about it and your baby and everything, I mean, look at you now. And I'm sure there's people out there that have been listening to you this morning, and you're telling everybody and you're proud of who you are. And so are we, proud to have you on here. And like, just can't thank you enough for doing that, because by doing that, I feel as if you're having a domino effect and helping other people
too. Well, that's what I want to do. Yeah. Like, I want people to see. People who have cancer of any ages, but because I was so young, you can get through. And I was told I'd never have kids. I defied the odds, and I've had three. After that, and then I'm going through it again. And like, it can be done. And you know, just be positive. And I just want people to know that you can get through it.
Yeah.
And because I've done it at such a young age, and you know, life can still go on with it. And once you have the support and the family and friends are the most important.
You're going to have to set. Yeah, you're going to have to set up a page on its own, fan page.
I'd love to set up a page just for if people ever want to talk, you know, stuff like that.
Yeah, yeah,
give something back, kind of thing.
Exactly like what Bernadette is doing, giving something back, and this is where it's stemmed from, and it goes to show you that it does. Swinging roundabouts, because Bernadette decided to help you, and look what's happened.
Yeah, well, I believe that...
Maureen.
I was going to look at who's Bernadette. I was kind of got thrown off
the smoking lady that was on the
Well,
morning.
I believe it's just for a reason.
Bernie.
Maybe for me to help
you know
somebody.
What? I was thinking that when you said you worked in Cadbury's, and then all of a sudden I'm bringing a lady in
that
worked in Cadbury's. Mm. And I'm like, is there a connection going on? You know, they say that people are meant to be where they are meant to be, and it's whatever path they choose from that direction. And... could I say thank you to the people that did get involved? And I spoke to them the other day, and when they found out Karen's story, now they did not know the story before they gave everything for nothing, absolutely nothing. And they're actually now so proud that they did get involved. So as I said, Cleary's, but the church restaurant in Mary Street, she's going to be treated to full lunch in the middle of the day. So what we're actually doing is we're going to Cleary's at 10 a.m. in the morning. So if anybody wants to come along and cheer her on, they can. We're going to Cleary's at 10 a.m. in the morning. We're going to be there till 12:30.
Next Thursday.
Woo!
Your sister in Dubai just texted in, by the way.
Oh, my God.
Christine. So that's next
we're there
Thursday.
12:30, and then we're leaving there. We're going to the church restaurant for lunch and maybe a little drink for her, some wine or champagne, actually, I think is on it. And then we're heading to Queen in that street that I can never say.
What was it again,
street,
Debbie?
In Queen. In Ongar Street, and as I said, John Maher is going to do her hair. And then we're out of there at about 4:30, and we're heading for makeup to Dame Street to make up Fablicious. And
Fablicious.
Then we are heading to the Selbridge Manor at 6:30, hopefully to arrive for 7 o'clock to do our photos for the RSVP magazine. So if anybody's out in Selbridge and they want to come out and see her all made up, because she's going to be completely made up by the time we hit Selbridge, and so they can pop out and see her there and have a little tipple with her or something. I'm sure we can arrange that. So that's the day, and I'm really excited about it. I'm actually really excited about it.
Yeah. Okay. Well, going to have to let it go off now, and we're going to play out with Kim Wilde. You came, and she did today at Tenir FM to share her story with us. The lovely Karen Nicholson-Stewart, local lady, and also the lovely Maureen O'Halloran. And watch the space, people, is all I can say. But before I let you go, I'd just like to take this opportunity to thank my other guest on this morning's programme, Bernie. Well done to yourself, Bernie McDermott. And if people want to give up smoking, you can head over to the Kilmore West Recreation Centre today, or in the Recreation Centre on Beaumont, and on Wednesday. The lines there to get in touch are 877-150, or you can give them a ring on 085-847-8961. That's to give up smoking there. And many thanks there to Bernie McDermott and my lovely two beautiful guests here this morning, Karen Nicholson-Stewart and the lovely Maureen O'Halloran. Girls, what's your closing thoughts for this morning's programme?
Just always be yourself and treat every day as a positive day, because each day that you have a negative one, you've wasted a day of your life.
Maureen, just before we let you go, Maureen, thank you, Maureen, for giving my wife a lift from Ed.
Oh, you're going to start me crying again.
Karen, what do you want to say?
Again, I believe everything happens for a reason, and what I'm going through is just going to make me stronger and probably help other people.
And you promise to come back into us?
I will, of course. And again, thanks to Maureen.
Many thanks.
For war, I wouldn't even be here. So, and thanks, Leslie, for having me. So.
Not at all. I'm delighted. I can't wait to see you again. Oh my God, I'm going to start crying too. Myself, Leslie Murphy, it's been my pleasure. Pat Meehan is up next with Northside today. I'll see you next week, lads. Slán lá, agus gur maith agat.